This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 64 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Today, it's all about travel and foreign languages. I'm a bit of a language lover. I'm not particularly good at too many languages, but I've always enjoyed learning them. I think I was lucky certainly in an English-speaking country context, because we're not renowned for doing well with bilingualism or learning languages. But I was lucky that by chance in my primary school, we started learning German in year three. Now, I think these days kids do learn languages in Australia at a younger age, but back then that was pretty unusual. And on top of that, one of my mum's good friends was a German herself. And so she wanted to teach her daughters German. Her daughters were about the same age as my sister and I. And so we used to get together on a Friday afternoon after school, and she would teach all of us German. I think we were meant to be there to be kind of, I don't know, the good influences to get her to sit her kids down. Because I know I try to teach my son German and he doesn't want to listen to me. Maybe I need to try and find someone else, like just like I was. Interesting. It helped me learn to love languages that I got to do it early on when it was just really fun. And today I speak to three different travellers who've had all kinds of varied experiences with foreign languages, both throughout their educational history and throughout their travels. So more of that in a moment. But first, a little bit of admin. You may remember, if you're a regular listener, that I mentioned last week that the Jackrabbit FM network is closing down. So that means I'm taking the Thoughtful Travel Podcast all out on its own. And it's a little bit scary, but I think I will manage. Fingers crossed anyway. But what that means for you is that after this episode, I will have a couple of weeks off, partly because I need to learn a few things as I take over kind of, you know, more of this process myself. And also because of the timing of that, I've got two trips away. By the time you listen to this, I'll be back again. But I'm very excited to be going to Singapore and Malaysia in a couple of days, mostly aimed at a trip for my son who's excited about going to Malaysian Legoland. And after that, I'll be in Melbourne for a few days for the Pro Blogger Conference. So lots of fun times coming up. And I promise to be back in just a couple of weeks with more from the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Now, let's get back to travel and foreign languages. And my first guest today is Yasmin Newman, who is one of those annoyingly trilingual people. She's also really nice, though, so I forgive her. So we had a chat about how her language has developed over the years.
I speak both French and Spanish, and I learnt French at high school and Spanish at university. Because I loved languages and travelling, I made it a kind of a goal to go overseas and, you know, improve my language skills. You know, for Spanish during university, I went, got an opportunity to go live in Mexico for a year. And my Spanish was actually quite good, not to toot my own horn, but it was surprisingly good. But what was interesting to me was how, you know, your looks can define how people interact with you and your language skills. So my Spanish was decently, you know, it was pretty good, but I didn't think it was amazing. But I apparently, unbeknownst to me, looked very Latina. Uh-huh. And I'm actually, yeah, half Filipino, half Australian, and I'd always seen myself as half Asian. But there I kind of took on this Latina identity. And having this, you know, decent Spanish and this look, people just assumed that I could speak Spanish.
Wow.
And I found it, I just kind of wanted to shout. Well, I did try and say to them, but they almost ignored it, that I need your help here, guys. Like, I'm not understanding everything you're saying. I don't know where that post office is. I'm not a local.
Oh, my
goodness. And I found it kind of quite interesting as a take on languages and being overseas.
Yes, the expectations are funny, aren't they? Like, as a, I lived in Japan for a couple of years, and obviously I don't look Japanese at all, which is helpful because then no one expects me to speak Japanese at all, and I don't speak well, but I speak, you know, a little bit to get by. But then they're very excited and pleased for me to be able to speak just a little bit, whereas it sounds like you had the opposite experience in Mexico.
Yeah, definitely. Or when you're kind of looking lost on the street, when you're in another country, people kind of approach you in a certain way, like they want to help you. But I didn't have that at all. I would kind of, yeah, always felt quite lost as a result.
That's not really fair, is it?
Yeah,
How did you go by the end of your year in Mexico? Was your had your Spanish improved immeasurably, or?
not as much as I would have liked. So years before, I'd lived in France, and there is a country that most people don't. I mean, I think that's changing, but they don't typically. You know, they're very proud of speaking French, and of their own language, and are not as interested in speaking English. So it's great for an English, you know, an English speaker wanting to learn French, because you're immersed in the language and you don't have an opportunity as much to be using English. Whereas in Mexico, and I found in a lot of countries, they're so eager to improve their own English skills that they quickly divert over to English, and you're like, oh, is my Spanish that bad that you felt like you needed to rescue me? Or whereas in France, you know, in 3 months I became almost fluent, whereas in Mexico, maybe not as much. I was also, it was also a university exchange, and we were partying and having probably too much fun too.
So you weren't exactly focused on studying the language, but
no,
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah. But you make a very valid point. I mean, I've experienced the same thing, that it's often very hard to get people to speak to you in the other language. Like I can speak German very well, you know, reasonably fluently. And when I'm in Germany, I will speak to people in German no matter what. But for example, I might be, you know, ordering something in a restaurant, speaking German to them. They're speaking German back to me. It's all fine. But then I'll ask my son a question in English, and then so they notice that I can speak English, and suddenly they all switch to English. I'm like, my German definitely wasn't that bad. You could have kept going in German, because you know I want to practice, and I appreciate they want to practice too, but not on me.
Yes, exactly. And I don't think it is a factor of rescuing. I think they're just really eager to try it on for themselves, you know.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. But I I felt like having a sign saying, just speak German to me, please. I don't want to speak English.
Listening back to my conversation with Yasmin did make me think about this issue of people wanting to practice a language. And I realised that I am absolutely guilty of the same thing I get annoyed at other people about. For example, if I'm here in Perth or, you know, somewhere in Australia and I hear Germans speaking, or I realise that they're German, then I go up and chat to them in German. And that's probably nice for them some of the time, but probably some of the time if they are talking to a local person, they may very well be wanting to practice their English instead. So I might have to reconsider that, or at least ask them, would you prefer to speak in German or English? Maybe. I don't know. I guess there's lots of people around them who don't speak any German, and they probably get plenty of practice speaking English. But maybe the people in the other countries who've been doing the same to me have had the same opinion. So anyway, it's going to be something that I consider in the future, and I might even ask them which they prefer. But there you go. As I said earlier, I'm off to Malaysia in the next few days, and I do not speak any Malay at all, really, barring a couple of words. So I'm kind of hoping that there'll be plenty of English spoken where I am, and in all likelihood there will be. But you know, I probably should make more of an effort. I know this. Anyway, let's move on. So my next guest today is Cassandra Lay. And she has lots of interesting things to say about her foreign languages across the years. Now, during our chat, I had learnt that her mother was, no, both parents. Yeah, both parents were Vietnamese. And so to lead into this conversation, I had asked her, does she speak Vietnamese?
I do, at a very, very basic elementary level.
Right, yeah.
It was after growing up here. I spoke it first at home, and then when I started going to kindergarten and preschool, that's kind of when I started losing it. I speak it to talk to my grandma and to order food and things like that.
But so you can get by if you're there, but...
Yeah, to get by. If I really wanted to express and have like a deep, complex conversation, I'd be struggling a little bit.
Right, okay. But conversationally, yeah, you're okay. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think the more languages you know, just gives you access to more different kinds and interesting people. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so Spanish you studied in high school. And
college or just high school?
No, just high school.
Okay.
I didn't decide. I don't know why. I think I got lazy and didn't want to take the exam to place myself in a
Fair
Spanish
enough.
class. So I thought,
Yeah, but
I can do without it.
going to live in Spain for 2 years is a pretty good way to learn some Spanish too. So, did that
Oh,
help your
yeah.
Spanish? Did you come out relatively fluent?
Yeah, immersion, I think, is the best way to learn a language, definitely. When I got there, I did not, I don't know what I was doing. I was walking around with my Google Translator in the grocery store, actually, and was looking for Q-tips, and I couldn't find them. And I just remember I, like, walked up to one of the clerks, and I thought, excuse me, and I just held it up because I didn't even know how to say, how do you say this? But they're like, oh, okay, here you go. And they walked me around and they helped me find it. But yeah, I didn't speak any Spanish. And now, after living there for 2 years and living in smaller towns and not being around a larger expat community, I would say I'm fluent enough to be able to have a deep conversation.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And even
always
if you
room
don't.
For improvement, though.
Oh, there always is. And I know, like, for example, with my German, my grammar is not perfect at all. But I can sort of speak fast enough that nobody really hears the grammar, and so that's okay by me.
That's good. That's always important. The grammar always throws me off too, especially in Spanish.
I know enough about Spanish to know that I would also have terrible grammar in Spanish, as I do in German. But my English grammar's all good, but German has, like, all these, you know, like, seven different words for the, and they're all very similar. And, you know, it's hard for me to remember which one applies where. And so I just say it very quickly and no one notices. So if I had to write it, then that, like, my written German is much poorer than my spoken German, I suppose. But, you know.
I feel the same way about my Spanish.
Mm.
My spoken Spanish is good. And I think I do the same thing when, if I kind of am confused about a word or something, I kind of just say it fast, or I kind of, like, hop over it or put in a filler word, and nobody seems to say anything to me. So I think it's okay. If I were to write in Spanish, I can write simple things, scholarly articles or anything like that. That's a little bit more difficult. I think their syntax is just very different. So English has shorter sentences. Spanish kind of mixes in three ideas into one sentence, so it's a very long run-on sentence for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of nice, but hard to do accurately.
So
I can imagine.
I think I have to practice more.
From my chats both with Yasmin and Cassandra, I've been reminded of the fact that living in a country isn't sufficient for becoming fluent in the language, that it takes a lot more effort than you might expect. I remember when I'd been living in Japan for a few months only, and I was chatting to someone back home in Australia, someone who hadn't had any experience themselves of learning a language, I must say, but they said to me, oh, you must speak really good Japanese by now, in just a few months. And of course, I was still struggling with the very basics, and I certainly couldn't read anything by then. And it really does take some effort to ensure that you're making the most of the chance of living in a country. As Cassandra mentioned, living in smaller towns in Spain had certainly helped her. So if you're somewhere off the beaten path and there's not too many expats or other English speakers around, then that certainly helps. But even with that, when I lived in Germany, I was living in a town where, I mean, a lot of Germans, especially younger Germans, do speak pretty good English. But I was living, for example, in a block of apartments where nobody else spoke English. They were all older people. And I always watched German TV. I tried to speak German when I was, you know, out and about as much as possible. But the very fact of my job there, of teaching English, meant that I didn't actually get many chances to speak a variety of German. So my supermarket German was perfect, especially because they don't sort of make any small talk at the supermarket. So that was perfect. And I could ask for things I needed, and all of that was fine. But having more variety of conversations just didn't really happen until I made a lot more local German friends and kind of insisted that we speak German. So it was quite an issue. And as I did admit, my grammar is still pretty average, but I just speak fast enough that nobody knows the difference. A few years ago when my son was young, I used to go to a German playgroup here. And sometimes a new member would join, a German, like a native German person, and they would overhear me chatting with someone else and assume that I was German too, just that I had a tiny accent from living in Australia for a long time. And that thrilled me. I thought, wow, I must sound kind of fluent. But definitely if I have to write it down and use grammar, I would totally be outed as a non-German. Anyway, my final guest today is Serena Starr-Leonard, and she has some really interesting stuff to say about what to do if you don't speak the language and how we really can communicate without knowing all the words.
Basically, when we started out, we couldn't speak any Spanish. John is very good at winging it. He'll just have a few words and he'll try. He doesn't mind pronouncing things wrong or not being understood. He's like, it's a really amazing trait. And I'm someone who likes to get things right first.
Me too.
And, and so I, you know, it held me back for a while. And what I realized, though, is in being now forced to be in all these situations where we're interviewing people who don't speak the same language as us, we're in communities with people who don't speak the same language as us, what I've got to learn is how to communicate without language. It's an amazing experience because my stepmom doesn't speak English. And so I've never really been able to have a conversation with her. She's Chinese. And so after this trip, I came back and after we spent 2 years in Latin America, and I had a conversation with her because I was open to it. Whereas in the past, my experience is if I don't have the same language as someone, is I just feel really dumb and unable to communicate.
Yeah.
Whereas now with facial expressions and like four words and hand gesticulations and just being silly and feeling connected.
Yeah.
Like knowing that you can connect. Yeah, I find that that's opened the whole world to me. And
yes,
it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
We're chatting with people in Cambodia or whether we're chatting with people in, you know, it doesn't matter what language. My ability to connect has been completely transformed.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. But that's so true. When I started off traveling, like when I left Australia for a few years, I started off teaching English. Well, in fact, I taught English the whole way around, but I started off in Japan, and I'll always remember that, I must have come home for a visit or something, and I was chatting away to, you know, Australian friends about some of my Japanese friends, and they would ask me about, like, could they speak English well and could I speak Japanese? And, you know, no, not very much. And they're like, well, how can you be friends with someone who doesn't speak the same language? Like, they just actually couldn't understand it. And I was like, it's totally fine, you know, there's so many ways. But they really thought that I was a bit odd to have made friends where we couldn't, you know, we didn't really have a language in common. So, it was a good way to learn that, yeah, definitely language is only one part of how we communicate.
Yeah, and it's like we rely on it far too much.
Definitely.
Because when you only have language, there's, you know, it has so much more meaning, I guess. I think that one thing alone has enriched my experience of life and enriched my feeling of connectedness wherever we go in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think it is a really great lesson to learn. And especially because if we've grown up in English-speaking countries, I think that it's something that it's harder for us to learn because, you know, we're sort of taught that the whole important part of the world, they all speak English anyway. And I assume New Zealand's not much different to Australia, and second languages are not particularly well taught in schools. And so it's hard to really get the hang of that.
It is. Like, it's embarrassing to only know English.
Isn't it?
Like, we go to places and everyone has to speak English because we only speak English, whereas they can all speak 2, 3, or 4 languages.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, like, it is really embarrassing. Like, I've been trying to learn Spanish as much as possible. And I think a lot of words in Spanish now because I want to be bilingual because, yeah, it's just embarrassing to only have one language. It's such a massive disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, because you just learn so much out of it. So I speak German as well because I lived in Germany or learnt German all through school and then lived there for a few years. So and just the things that you learn by knowing the way that another language expresses the same thing and stuff like that, you just couldn't imagine that other people could think so differently to you until you learn that in this whole language they think this way and stuff like that. Like, just so many different things that you can learn from learning other languages.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I really think this lesson of the fact that you really can communicate a lot even when you don't have a common language is such an important lesson to learn, and it's one that we often find hard to learn without travelling. So I'm appreciative of that Serena's brought this issue up, because it's something really important. And, yeah, it can be really amazing, as she said. So that's it for our topic of language and travel for episode 64 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. You can find more details about this episode in the show notes, and they'll be at notaballerina.com/64. Now, as I said, we are transitioning out of the Jackrabbit FM network and on our own. Now, I'm assured that really, as far as you're concerned as a listener, there should be no change at all, apart from the fact that we won't have the lovely little Jackrabbit FM bit right at the very end, which is kind of sad. So I hope that that does work out as problem-free as we predict. The only thing that could possibly be an issue, but probably won't be, is that if you're subscribed, for example, if you're subscribed by the podcast app, that it might drop off. It should transfer you all over. But if you notice in a few weeks that you still haven't seen me pop up in your podcast feed, then just hop over into iTunes, search for the Thoughtful Travel Podcast and resubscribe. But fingers crossed, that won't even be an issue itself, and you won't even know that anything has changed. So I'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next episode. But before I go, let me tell you about how to find our lovely guests today. So first up, we chatted with Yasmin Newman. You can find her at yasminnewman.com, and you may remember from previous episodes that she has these amazing books that make you want to eat all the food. The newest one is The Desserts of New York and How to Eat Them All, and before that she wrote 7,000 Islands, A Food Portrait of the Philippines, so look them up. There'll be links in the show notes to them. After Yasmin, I chatted with Cassandra Lay of The Quirky Pineapple. And you can find her fairly logically at thequirkypineapple.com. And she's very active on Instagram with TQ Pineapple for her Instagram handle. And finally, I chatted with Serena Star Leonard. She's all over the internet in all kinds of ways. For example, she has a Retire in 12 Months project at in12months.com and the 5.5.org. Some of the great work that she and Johnny have been doing. And I'll leave links to both of those bits in the show notes. Last but definitely not least, do come over and chat with us in the Thoughtful Travelers Facebook group. Always some interesting discussions there. You can find it just by searching for Thoughtful Travelers on Facebook, and you just have to answer a simple question so that I know you're a real travel interested person and not, you know, some spammy kind of person. And I'll leave a link in the show notes for that as well. You can get me on Twitter as well at Amanda Kendall and use the hashtag Thoughtful Travel Pod. Thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.